Last week, Pastor Doug mentioned again that I studied at Rice University, and in my senior year at Rice, I took a philosophy class, a history of philosophy class, and for our final paper, we had to write evaluating the arguments of a philosopher. So I chose to evaluate this philosopher by the name of David Hume, and he wrote philosophical arguments of naturalism or against miracles, anti-supernaturalism. Now, the rules for this paper were that you weren't supposed to consult outside works, but that you had to evaluate on your own your original ideas. Now, I'm not sure what happened this last semester. I think I wasn't sleeping very well, you know, kind of staying up and pulling these all-nighters, because that's the cool thing to do, you know, when you're in college, stay up all night and study, you know, that's cool. So I think I was losing some sleep this last semester, I'm not sure. And I was reading this Christian author and apologist by the name of Norm Geisler. And so I wrote my final paper, turned it in. The professor graded it, handed it back to me, A. And as a result, I also received an A in the class. But as I was sitting around and reviewing Norm Geisler's book and reviewing my paper, I started to notice, hey, wait a second. I think I might have violated the rules for the paper. And then I started looking at it more closely, and the arguments that I wrote were almost exactly out of the book that Norm Geisler wrote. And so not only had I violated the rules of the class, but I had committed what is called plagiarism. You guys know what plagiarism is? Is when you use someone else's writings or words and you don't cite them as the source. So I was in a brouhaha. I was in trouble. I think that's what brouhaha means. I'm not sure. But what was I to do? It was my last year in the class. I was a leader, a Christian leader on the campus. I was a leader in my church. In fact, I had, as a college student, started to give sermons every now and then at my church just down the street in the evening service. You know, that's where they let the beginner preachers kind of start off. And yet, I had committed this grievous sin, this violation. What was I to do? Well, we've been studying and going through Genesis, and we've been studying a model, a prime example of faith, and that being Abraham more recently. But as you know, in life, we all go through our ups and downs. We all have our successes, and we all have our failures. And in fact, sometimes we can learn more from someone's failures than we can from their successes. And so this morning, I want us to look at the darker side. The darker side of our prime example of faith, our model son, if you will, our first family, Abram and Sarai. And I'd like us to see what can we learn from their faltering faith. And how can we have more of a fervent faith? What kind of faith would you like to have? Would you like to have a faith that is faltering, or would you like to have a faith that is fervent? So let's take a look as we go into Genesis chapter 16. It's the story of Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and their son Ishmael. Let's take a look. We will probably look mostly at verses 1 through 6 this morning. Sarah and Hagar. And starting in verse 1, the narrator sets the scene for us. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." So here we have three of our characters for our story. And as we look at their faith, and as we think of our faith, we're going to see here in these first six verses the faltering faith of Abram and Sarai. And what is one item that we can learn as we look at this? We can see that from these verses that Abram or our faith can falter when we focus on God's lack of provision. When we focus on God's lack of provision, our faith can falter. Let's see here. There we go. The fallacies of a faltering faith. First, it focuses on God's lack of provision. And we see that in verses 1 to 2. Yeah, the first part of verse 2. You see, Abram and Sarai, they were in a bad situation. They had no child. And so they were in a barren situation. In fact, this word here, had borne him no children. We sometimes translate that word as beget in the Old King James Version. And there was no child for Abram and Sarai. This verb was not used at all between chapters 12 through 15, but in chapters 4 through 11, we had this word beget used 52 times. I looked it up on my Bible software. You know, I can do that these days. It's used 52 times. But once we get to chapter 12, all the way through chapter 15, we don't have this word. Zero, cero, nada, nothing, ling. Okay? This verb is not used. In chapter 11 alone, it's used 27 times. And as Pastor Doug shared with us last week, one of the greatest marks of blessing for the Hebrew was what? The land, right? But right behind that is progeny. It's children. And Abram and Sarai, they have nothing. Again, it's used 52 times. And they beget. Or Andy, it's in your version, it might be, and he fathered. It's all over 27 times in chapter 11. But once we, it's and he beget, and so-and-so 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 beget. But then 12 through 15, no beget, no beget. In fact, in the other parts of Genesis, there's no beget in chapter 7 through chapter 9. And why is that? Because God's judging the world through Noah. We got no beget. We got no child. In fact, in chapter 11, verse 30, it says Sarai was without child. Finally, we get to chapter 16 and we get that verb again, beget. But it's no beget. You know, they said no beget. No, he hadn't born him no child. So friends, we are in a desperate situation. We got no child. Big problem. And in fact, in chapter 15, Abraham promises, or God promises to Abram that you will be a great nation again, and that this, you're going to have so many descendants that it's going to be more than the stars in the skies. You won't be able to count your descendants. But here I am. I'm pushing 86. And my wife is pushing 76. And I got no child. The well is dry. The womb is closed. And it's not just a passive withholding of blessing. But if you see there in verse 2, it's as if Sarai is saying, the Lord is actively preventing me from having children. Isn't that what it says in your English version? The Lord has prevented me from begetting. And so, friends, it's a real situation. But when we're in these barren situations, we can have a faltering faith if we focus on what God is not providing. Focusing on God's lack of provision. So, by the corollary, I want to challenge us, as we want to have a fervent faith, to focus on God's provision. You know, sometimes we like to play this game. It's called Never Have I Ever. You guys ever play that game? Brother Patrick introduced me to that game. Never Have I Ever. And then we think that God is the reason. Never have I ever. You know, what you do is you try to, it's like playing this game called I'm Deprived. You know, because never have I ever gone to Disney World. You know, never have I ever made straight A's for 6 straight semesters. Never have I ever had that 6-figure income in my life. And we think that it's because God is the one who's behind this. And we focus on God's lack of provision. Well, I want to challenge you today when you go home to switch that game, play a different game. Don't play never have I ever. Play always have I ever. Okay, so when you go home today, will you play and give yourself a point and give everyone else in your group a point if they also match that? Always have I ever. Always have I ever had food to eat. Who can say that? Always have I ever had food to eat. All right. Always have I ever had a car to drive in America when I wanted to drive a car. I mean, maybe you're not old enough to drive a car, but your mom, always have I ever. You know, when I go home and I go home, I say, thank you, God, for my mansion. Because I live in a mansion. You maybe you don't know. You only been living in America. But I got to tell you, you live in the other parts of the world. Places you guys are living in, it's a mansion. Okay? Ask Baba Mama. You Hue Lao Jia. You're going to know back in the old country, you don't got no mansion. Okay? So, always have I ever had a mansion to live in. Now, maybe some of you haven't had that. Okay, that's okay. But there's got to be something. Always have I ever had forgiveness of sins since I believed in Jesus. And give yourself a point. Give everyone else a point in your group. Always have I ever had the Holy Spirit since I believed in Jesus. So let's play that game, because faltering faith, it can focus on God's lack of provision. Let's move on. Verse 2b. Sarah said to Abraham, Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. fallacies of faltering faith. It focuses on God's lack of provision. It also focuses and relies on self. Focuses and relies on self. See here, Sarai is focusing on herself. What does she say? What are her words? She says, go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. In the Hebrew, the real sense is, go in because I, and build me up. Build me up. You see, Sarai, she's only thinking of three people. Me, myself, and I. And we don't see any mention of, hey, let's do this because I want to help. I want to promote your name, Abram, that great promise that God gave you. I want to build up your name. She's not saying, God, I want to do this, or Abram, do this because I want to glorify the Yahweh, the God of Israel. No, it's do this. Maybe I will obtain some children by her. Build myself up is the literal Hebrew. And so, friends, let's be careful when our motives, our hearts are very, very self-centered and we're not focusing on other people or the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can be very, very self-centered in my sermon preparation. And I can be focused, but what's my real motive? Is it to let, you know, I can build my name up as some, you know, the Chinese Matt Chandler or whatever, you don't know, or, you know, back in my day it was Chuck Swindoll or whoever it might be. But no, let's let our motives be for God and for others. And then Sarai, she focuses on herself and she relies on herself. You know, she's kind of getting tired of God. I mean, you know, God, I'm 76 and you made these great promises and I mean, nothing's going on here. Hello, anybody up there? I mean, God, yeah, I guess I got to help you out, God. You know, you're not coming through. Maybe you want me to take some action. So I guess I got to take over. And so now we have Sarai relying on herself, controlling the situation, moving the chess pieces, manipulating. And she's the director. She's the commander. You know, she's the Lauban. Okay. And now there's nothing wrong with being directive. Nothing wrong with being in charge, but maybe if Sarai and Abram were checking with God all throughout the process and saying, Lord, how about this? How about this, Lord? How about this? But we don't get any picture of that. We see self-reliance. And so, friends, if we want to avoid a faltering faith and have a fervent faith, let's focus on the Lord and others and let's rely on the Lord. Let's check in with Him. Whatever situation, whatever barrenness you may feel you're going through right now, rely on the Lord's ways. Don't be careful when you engineer your own solution to the problem, but check in with the Lord. Rely on His power and focus your motives on Him. It also violates God's principles. And we saw that here in 2B to 4A. I mean, friends, you know, we got PG-13 going on here. You know, I mean, all these euphemisms here go into, you know, give my servant here to Abram, and she's going to be your wife. I mean, that's PG-13 here we're talking about, you know. And but I want to tell you that back in the day that was okay. That was common cultural practice. It was an ancient Near Eastern practice that if you couldn't bear children because of the wife you had, you could find another woman and give her to your husband, and the husband could take her and bear children through that surrogate mother, wife. And that was common practice. It was okay. So some people really don't fault Abram and Sarai for what they did because it was common practice. Well, friends, I differ with that. I think any Hebrew reading this Genesis account would have read Genesis 2:24, and there we see that for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so, you know, having a woman here on the side to bear my children was against and violates God's principles. So, friends, it may be okay in the culture. Everybody's doing it. But we gotta follow what does God say? And Sarai was not following that. And in fact, Abram didn't help either. Just at a time where we needed a strong moral voice, someone to stand up, be a leader, and stand for God's principles. Abram, what does he do? What does it say in verse 2b? Abram, listen to the voice of Sarai. Does that sound familiar? Abram, listen to the voice of Sarai. Whose voice are you supposed to be listening to, Abram? Go back with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Genesis 3, 16. Wait, not 16. Verse 17. To Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Whose voice are you supposed to be listening to, Adam? That voice is repeated in chapter 3. It's the same word in verse 8, where it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God. It's that same word. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And then, verse 10 of chapter 3, and he said, I heard the sound of you. See, you're supposed to be listening to the voice of God. And we can have a faltering faith when we're listening to other people's voices and not the voice of God. It doesn't matter if it's your husband. It doesn't matter if it's your wife. It doesn't matter if it's your child. It doesn't matter if it's your mom. It doesn't matter if it's your teacher. It doesn't matter if it's your classmate. It doesn't matter if it's your coworker. Listen to the voice of God, not the voices of man. And if there's a contradiction, you got to go with the voice of God. So, friends, how can we have and avoid a faltering faith? Let's listen to the voice of God. And here it is right here. Here's the voice of God. Okay? So you got to listen to it. Listen. Listen to the voice. That's right. You got to fill your mind, fill your heart with the Word of God. Meditate on it. Read it. Memorize it. Study it. Exegete it. Apply it. Gotta listen to this voice. Don't listen. Be a ting, be a derinda. If it's contradicting this right here. So friends, some of us started off the year well. We were reading the Bible. And if you have had a setback, now that we're in February, I want to challenge you today, before the Super Bowl, will you read on your own? I know you've heard a lot of the Bible already here today, but just to get in the practice of reading on your own the Bible, will you read 5 minutes before the Super Bowl? If you haven't yet read the Bible on your own, and then this week, 15 minutes a day, every day this week. Okay? Yes, God, I will. Yes, God, I will. 5 minutes before the Super Bowl. Just give God 5 minutes before the Super Bowl. Thank you, Brother Alfred. All right. And then go home today. As you're driving home, I want you to play Always Have I Ever. Okay? And say, God, thank you. Always have I ever, fill in the blank, had food to eat, had eternal life since I believed in Jesus. Okay? Now, so friends, violates God's principles, and it has negative results. We see this. We see the destruction, the disaster here in verse 16, chapter 16, He goes on. He went into Hagar. She conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And that's Sarai. So because of the faltering faith of Abram and Sarai, look at the ripple effects. Hagar gets this pride and she looks down, kanbuchi, you know, looking down on her mistress, Sarai. And so you can imagine, I don't know, maybe it's 3 months later, Simpson's starting the show, and she, hey, look at me, yeah, and look at you, nothing. Okay? So we others can get filled with pride. And look, keep going on. And then we start to blame others. Oh, this is classic. Look at verse 5. You're going to laugh at this. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. Oh, boy. I mean, what's Abram to do? I mean, you gave me this idea, Sarai, and now you're blaming me. But we can understand the pain of Sarai, and she feels this pain, and then she wants to inflict it on others. That ever happened to you? You're in trouble, you're in pain, and then you want others to share that pain. I had that problem this last week. I was on another home repair, trying to change my sink faucet. Look up the Home Depot video on how to change my sink faucet. 1 hour. Now, I've learned through my various home repairs, when it says Home Depot say 1 hour, it's going to take Pastor Way 4 hours. So sure enough, 9 p.m., I start, against the advice of my wife, I start on the home repair, 9 p.m. 12 p.m., oh, man, we still ain't got no faucet to use because, I ran into this problem, I ran into that problem, and then my pipes underneath are not, you know, I can't put them back together now. And then so I start thinking, what's the problem here? And I tell you the truth, I felt like waking up Daniel at 12 p.m., midnight, saying, Daniel, you come and help me out because you guys got to help me out with this. I was feeling pain from my home repair, and I want to inflict some pain on you. I want you to share my pain and make you lose sleep too. All right, Sister Elisa, I hear you. I know I got an amen. You know, I like Elisa. Give me an amen there. All right. So friends, that's kind of what happens there. Okay. We want to inflict that pain on others. And so these are some of the destructive results. And praise the Lord. I got an idea of how to fix the pipe problem at 4:30 in the morning. So I woke up at 4:30 and then by 5:30, we had it all fixed and we had a faucet to use. But we still got a little leak. But I'm working on it. Okay. But we want to inflict pain on others. And then we even want to curse people sometimes. I mean, Sarai, she's calling down a curse upon her husband. May the Lord judge between you and me. And then verse 6, Abram, and then people withdraw. Abram said to Sarai, behold, look at these pronouns. Look at the distance. Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. We got Abram pulling out. He's pulling out. Just when we need some strong leadership, we're withdrawing. And don't we do that sometimes? Just when we need that moral voice, that spiritual voice. Hey, your son, you know, he's whining. And then my smart wife might respond, but you know, he's your son too. But we're withdrawing, okay? We're withdrawing. And then we start to abuse. Then Sarah dealt harshly with her. It's this word afflict. We can even put this word abuse. And then when we find abuse, we flee. So Hagar runs away, flees from her. So friends, we got a faltering faith. And we're going to finish the story. Maybe next week or a couple weeks from now, we're going to see a fervent faith from Hagar. But today, when you go home, will you play Always Have I Ever? Will you call upon God? Check in with God. Don't rely on yourself. Don't focus on yourself. Call upon the Lord. Whatever barren situation you find yourself in, will you call upon the Lord to help you in the barren situation? And will you fill your mind with the voice of God? Give God 5 minutes today before that second class event. We got first class event going on right here. In 15 minutes, renew that scripture reading. You'll have to come back to continue. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can learn from people's mistakes, their failures, their sin. Thank you that we can learn from the faltering faith of Sarai and Abram. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to apply it to our lives as we go home this day and for this week. We pray in Jesus' name.